around. If there's a mother near you, if there's just a special lady, and all of our ladies are special, can we just honor them right now and bless them? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to each of you. First Lady, would you stand? Can we honor PK today? Amen. That's a great lady right there, folks. We're not the type of pastors who demand or command honor, you need to know how hard she works around this house. She has no desire to be up here speaking. She has no desire to preach or any of that. She lets me, that's the only thing she lets me do. She does everything else. we love her and we honor her today. And I know my mom, they go to three church services every Sunday. They watch John Hagee, then they go to their church, then they come home and they watch me. So whatever Brother Hagee and other pastors mess up, I'm able to fix up and make sure they get good and saved every Sunday. But I honor my mother today and so thankful for her health, and my mother-in-law today in the greater Portland area. We just love them and thank God for them, and certainly thank God for each of you today. Mother's Day for many of you is a good day. You're happily married. You have children. You like your children. They like you, or so you think. Your mother is living and you get along with her. Mother's Day is a good day for you. But for many others here today, Mother's Day is a bitter sweet day. For some, you don't have children because you're not married, but you would like to be married, and Mother's Day is perhaps a painful reminder of your marital status. Others are married, but you don't have children. Some because you have chosen not to have children, and that's okay. And others might not have been able to have children, and that's not okay. There's others who have lost children, and that is not okay. There may be some here this morning who are single moms, and it gets very lonely on Mother's Day. Some of you have lost your mother, and whenever Mother's Day rolls around, it reminds you of that big loss and the big hole that is in your heart. Others simply don't have a good relationship with their mom, and for a lot of people, Mother's Day is just a hard day. So regardless today of where you are, regardless of your life situation, every mom has hard days. As one mom said, if motherhood was going to be easy, it would never have started with something called labor. Being a mom is not easy. Most men have no idea. There are days that moms feel like they've blown it. They just stepped over a line, or maybe made a terrible decision, and you feel this sense of regret. I read one female family therapist who said, "Show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt, and I'll show you a man." Other days, you just feel like a failure for one reason or another. Times that you feel very lonely, even in a crowded house. So today, for the few minutes I have, because I know you have lunch plans and a day of just spoiling the mom or a mom or a special lady in your life, today I want to make four statements of affirmation to all the ladies in the house, especially the moms. My goal today is to raise the value of motherhood, raised up to the point that God intended. Here's the first affirmation statement, you are loved by God. I know that sounds so elementary and it's so simplistic, but I need every lady in this room today to know that you are loved by God. I want you to know that when those tough times come, and we know they are going to come to every mother and to every woman, I want you to remember that you are loved by God. When you feel unlovable, when you feel like no one respects you, remember God doesn't stop loving you. I love what he says in Isaiah 54 and 10, for though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, because there is nothing that will shake his love off of you. When you feel unforgivable, when you feel like you've done something and have that how could anyone forgive me feeling, when you have a hard time forgiving yourself, remember God's mercy never ceases. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, and he will not abandon you. If you don't get anything out of my message today, if you don't hear anything else I say in my remaining moments today, remember this, Mom, you are loved by God. You are prized by majesty. I want you to leave today with the idea that you are the beloved of Christ. You may feel unloved in this world. You may feel underloved by your friends and your family. You may never know how much God loves you, but hear me, you are the beloved of God. So be loved. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You can't. You just have to be loved. And he absolutely loves you. Today is the day that you need to be reminded that your identity is not wrapped up in your performance. A day to realize that you are prized by majesty. Today is the day where you remember that God doesn't love you because of what you do, but rather he loves you because of who you are. You are his beloved. Zephaniah, that often forgotten book, chapter 3 and verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take delight, great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You are loved by God. You may be familiar with the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. On one Mother's Day, Calvin is pictured standing by his mother's bed. Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card. My, how sweet of you, she says. I did it all by myself. Go ahead and read it. She begins to read. I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? Signed, Calvin. I'm deeply moved, his mother said. Did you notice the part about my allowance, he asked? That's the way some of our mothers may feel this morning. You feel like Calvin's mother, wondering if anybody is ever going to say, thank you, Mom, for all the good stuff you do. Being a mother is a tough job, and we recognize and we honor that today. So that leads me to the second statement of affirmation, moms, you are appreciated. Not only are you loved by God, but you are appreciated by every one of us. Someone asked the question to a group of moms, what do you need to hear on Mother's Day? One very seasoned mom said, you know what really means a lot to me? When someone says to me that really knows me, you're a good mom. I can coast on that for months. Another younger mom in the group, all choked up and teary-eyed, said, I just wish my children could appreciate all that I do for them. Someone else near her asked how old her kids were. 3 and 6. It's going to be a long, long time, ma'am. Appreciation, we all want it. We all need it, some more than others. But we have to have it to survive emotionally. It's just the way we're wired. God made us this way, to be appreciated by other people, to be seen and to be recognized by other people. Proverbs 12 and 25 in the Living Bible says, anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. What a wise saying. It's amazing how when you're going through an anxious time, when you're going through a difficult season, how that an encouraging word from someone you love, a blessed word from someone you trust can just literally melt the anxiety away. It's what appreciation does for us. It gives us the ability to endure the tough stretches, the difficult seasons. Mark Twain said it this way, I can live off of one good compliment for a week. Why? Because we're made that way. When someone recognizes how hard we work, when someone recognizes how tough the task is and how difficult the job is. Moms, you may be wondering today if anyone appreciates you. You may be wondering today, has anyone noticed all of my hard work or all of the effort that I put in? Listen to me, husbands. Listen to me, kids of all ages. One of the greatest gifts you can give your mom or the mother of your children, your wife, is the gift of sincere, personal, and continued appreciation. It's the emotional fuel that's essential for her journey through motherhood. And by continuous or by continual, I mean more than just on Mother's Day. To be thankful for all that she does in your life. Because those regular refuelings of encouragement, those regular refuelings of affirmation and appreciation, it sustains them in their role as a mom. Because deep inside of every person is a bucket labeled affirmation and approval. Everyone needs regular deposits in these buckets. And it's on us men, it's on the children to put some of that into our wives' and mothers' buckets. One of the great books of the Bible is in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs because it's 31 short chapters. You can read a chapter in just a couple of minutes, and you can literally correspond with every day of a new month and read and learn and grow. And all of these chapters are full of practical advice for skillful living. And yet some of the writings can make you feel bad if you read them without proper context. I say that because in the last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31, there is this detailed description of an amazing woman. She is described as a wonderful homemaker and a smart businesswoman and just an all-around perfect example of everything that a woman should be. A Proverbs 31 woman. How many have ever heard of a Proverbs 31 woman? Of course you have. It's there that many Mother's Day messages have been preached from Proverbs 31. It's often this woman in chapter 31 is lifted up as the model, the example that all women should strive for as the ideal wife and mother. And it's to the despair of many women because very few women feel like they can live up to this model. But you know the telling phrase for me, what really brings it all together, the verse that really anchors that entire section is near the end of that chapter, and I think it's the key to what the chapter is all about. It says that this woman, this wonderful woman, this amazing woman who is a wonderful mom at home and an incredible businesswoman, that she has children. She has children who regularly, Proverbs 31 and 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I think one of the reasons why she is such a wonderful woman is that her family recognizes, appreciates, and values who she is on a regular basis. Because the passage isn't just about lifting up the model of an ideal wife and mother that every woman should aspire to. There's more to it. It's also about a husband and children of that woman who deeply appreciate her and who express it regularly. Men, if we want a Proverbs 31 wife, then we need to be Proverbs 31 husbands, and we need to show our appreciation, and we need to make sure these incredible women in our lives, even if you're no longer married to your children's mother, if you can find some way to say thank you for all that she does for the children that you share together, it will make a difference for every single mom. Just a moment. I'm going to ask all of our moms to stand. Young moms and grandmoms and stepmoms and single moms and expectant moms, adoptive moms, soon to be, hopefully one day, moms. If I've left any mom out, I just want you to stand with all of these ladies in just a moment. And when they do, dads, husbands, kids, I want us to cheer them on and to affirm them and to express our appreciation to them as though our favorite team just won the championship. Y'all understand how this is gonna go? So moms, ladies, would you stand across the room today? Men, kids, come on, we owe them our love and appreciation. Thank you, ladies. We love you. We appreciate you. We don't say it enough. We don't say it well enough, but we love you. Thank you, moms. Thank you, moms. I saw him whispering, jewelry is better. Jewelry is better. Flowers are better. Chocolates. All of that. Here's the third affirmation statement. You need to give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Some of you try to be super mom and you're totally wiped out, so spent that you spend a lot of days feeling like a failure. I feel like I need to remind you today, although I also feel unqualified, feel like I need to remind you that all of the responsibility for your child's success and or failure is not yours. There are parents who live with the misguided guilt because their child hasn't yet turned out the way they hoped. You've questioned your motives, you've questioned your methods, you've beat yourself up with the what ifs. What if I had done this differently? I get it. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. This is one of those proverbs that can wear you out if you don't have context, because these wise sayings of Solomon are exactly that. They are wise maxims. They're not necessarily irrevocable promises from God. They are conditional. What Solomon is saying is that chances are, if you do your part, if you do your best, then your child will grow up in the way he should go. Because the truth is, your children grow into young adults and they make their own choices and they have free will. And some of our moms, parents in this room are carrying around this guilt because your son or your daughter has not yet turned out the way you had hoped, or the way that you planned, and that scripture is beating you up and you're left with, obviously I blew it, I made some mistake, I turned and zigged when I should have zagged, I should have done something different in my life. But let me ask you one question. Who was the parent of Adam and Eve? Think about that. And they still made a different choice. They still disobeyed. They still did what they wanted to do. See, this proverb is conditional, because look at what Solomon says in a previous chapter, Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice the ifs that come before the then. We train, we do our best, we example, we provide, we do everything we possibly can do to train up our children in the way that they should go. And if they receive your words, and if he inclines his ear to your wisdom and your understanding, then they will see God's favor in their life. Much of how a child turns out is the responsibility of that child. Please don't beat yourself up for all of that. If you made a mistake, and who hasn't? If you made a mistake, own it. Ask your child for forgiveness and move on as best you can. What I counsel most often are people finding God later in life, even after their children are years and years into their maturation process. And then a parent, middle-aged or older, finds God and begins to live according to his principles. And then they're saying, wait a minute, but look at how I failed my child. I didn't take them to church. I didn't put them in a church kids. I didn't teach them to serve at a young age. And so now I've failed my child. No. What we need to do is trust God and know, you know what? I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to train. I'm going to live. I'm going to example. I'm going to teach. I'm not going to nag. I'm not going to drive them crazy, but I'm going to pray, and my prayers are going to be heard, and they are going to make a difference. And I don't know which mom I'm talking to in this room, room whose heart is breaking for her child. But I've come to tell you that the story is not over. The book has not closed, and God is still at work. Mama, pray and trust that God has it all in His hand. Mom, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. You can't rewind the clock. You look to the future, but you got to stop beating yourself up for the past, because it's not helping anyone, especially you. Give yourself a break. Here's the fourth statement of affirmation. Moms, you matter. Not only are you loved by God, not only are you appreciated, but moms, you matter. You make a difference. And moms that make a difference, they invest themselves every day in the lives of their children. They intuitively and instinctively know that mothering matters. You know why? Because what happens today makes a difference tomorrow. There's a reason that Jude went to that restroom and called his mother and not his father. Because his dad probably would have said, "Who's messing with you? Go beat him up, punch him in the nose, man." But moms instinctively know, wait a minute, my words here are critical. The next statement out of my mouth to my child who is hurting, it's going to set a course. It's going to push them down a path. And so moms, we need you to know that you matter. Because here's the truth. God has uniquely positioned you to be the most influential person in the life of your child. I say that with all security as a father. I know the power of mom in their life. You will mark them and you will set them on a trajectory for the rest of their life by what you do. Whether it's those long conversations in the car between all of their many activities, they make a difference. Mom, those bedside chats about boys and girls, they make a difference. When you pack their lunches and put a little note in there, that'll probably embarrass them if their friends see it. It makes a difference. When you help them with their math problems, even though you don't have a clue yourself. Mom math, it's a whole different. You're making a difference. When you share with them in your own way the story of God, you're making a difference. When you bring your kids to church week after week after week, you're making a difference. You make a difference with the countless things you do every day for your children. You're making an investment in their lives that will reap huge dividends for generations to come. You know why? Because when God wants to do something great in the world, He doesn't send an earthquake. He doesn't stir up a tornado. He doesn't erupt a volcano. You know what He does? He sends a child. When God wants to move in the earth, He sends a child. But before He sends in a child, He finds a woman to be the mother of that child. When God needed a Moses, He found a Hebrew slave girl named Jochebed to be His mother. When God needed an Abraham Lincoln, he found a poor, illiterate Virginia farm girl named Nancy Hanks to be his mother. When God needed a Martin Luther King Jr., he reached down and found the daughter of a poor preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, by the name of Alberta Williams. When God needed a Mother Teresa, he found an impoverished Albanian young woman by the name of Nicole to be her mother. And when God needed a Savior, when the world needed a Savior, he found a young Jewish girl named Mary to be the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. God chooses women just like you to do the extraordinary in and through you and to touch and make a difference in the world. Moms, of all the women in the world, God chose you to be the mother of the children you have. You are the one, Mom. You're the one that your children need. He chose you to be the mother of that child, to those children you have. You make a difference by passing great things down to your kids. The bottom line, mothers, is you're going to transfer things to your kids. You're going to shape them, and you're going to pass on traits to them, some good and some bad. You might as well make up in your mind to pass on godly traits and faith in God. Pass that to your kids. Because if you succeed there, you are successful. The ultimate reward is knowing that you've done everything you can to make sure your children have a relationship with Jesus and that heaven is their ultimate destination. That's the power of every mother. Moms, you matter. I was reading recently a book by Francis Frangipane, and he was talking about every great revival or reformation has been preceded by a prayer movement. And he listed out the different incredible worldwide revivals and moves of God, and went a step further back to find out about the prayer. What was the prayer? Where did the prayer begin, and who was praying, and what was happening? And he had everything organized and charted, and here's this revival, and there was the prayer movement that preceded it, and there was this revival, and there's the prayer movement that birthed that revival. But he got to the Jesus movement, the Jesus revolution of the 70s. And he couldn't find a prayer movement. Couldn't find record anywhere. And he went to God and said, "This doesn't make sense. I've looked at all of these great revivals and these incredible awakenings, and I see prayer, 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 but I get to this Jesus movement, this Jesus revolution, and I can't find the prayer that birthed it." And he said God spoke to him. And he said, "I raised up 1 million moms to pray for their sons and daughters who were getting lost and caught up the hippie movement and the sexual revolution. I raised up 1 million moms. They never were organized. They never marched on the mall. They didn't have a Facebook group. They were just mamas who were desperate to see change in their kids." I know you got to get to lunch and you've got to get to a special day, and I pray it's even more special by men and by kids in this room that understand, even more importantly, after hearing this message today, the debt of gratitude that we owe each and every one of you. But moms, hear me. I called you to pray for your kids again. I know you're busy. I know you're chasing. I know you're weight. You're carrying that Stanley Cup, and you're so worn out. It's so heavy. But if you get that thing set down just for a minute every week to say, God, I pray for my babies. Lord, I pray for my son. I pray for my daughter. I pray for my kids. I'm asking you, Lord, to save them. I'm asking you, Lord, to reach them where they are. Because moms, there is nothing like the prayers that you pray. We thank God for you, Mom. And I want to pray for you today as we come to a close of this message and of this service. I ask everyone to stand with me today. Maybe your mom or your wife or a special lady is somewhere near you today. Would you just reach a hand to where they are? I promise you they won't be offended. Take them by the hand if you have that kind of relationship with them. Father, I ask you to bless every mom in this room today. I ask for your strength upon every mother, upon every mothering heart, mothering spirit today. I pray your grace. I pray your grace over their failures. I pray your grace over their shortcomings. I pray your peace to their exhausted mind. I pray your healing to their broken heart. I pray today that they would be strong, because as a husband, as a father, as a pastor today, I know that if women are in their rightful place, and if moms have a burden like those moms had in the 70s, there is going to be a revival in our families. I'm asking you to raise up 100 praying women in this house. Oh, I thank God for our men. I thank God for the strength, the masculinity in this house. But Lord, today I know exactly how much these moms matter. Today I want them to be strengthened and blessed and encouraged, for them to know that they are loved by you, for them to know that they are appreciated by us, for them to give themselves a break, and for them to know how much they matter. I pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Every lady, we have a gift for you today. PK has a gift for you today, and it's beautiful, and I know it'll be special to you. Can we just worship the Lord one more time today? Say I
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Say,
I trust in God, my Savior.
Love you today. Stop by.